by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young dude. We need to take out the lefties.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
So, what's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag, guy?
That was such a humble brag. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Lefties Lounge podcast. I'm your host, Ron Newkirk. With me, as always, is Mr. Krafik and Frankie. We have quite a show for you today. We're talking about Olympic golf, getting that out of the way. We visited Mr. Pete Egazarian from MPI. In Pete, we trust. Have a new nickname for him. We can get into that. But man, I played on Sunday a net championship. There's a lot going on. I had a big weekend, guys. Frank, how was yours?
My weekend was fine, but I don't know anything about your weekend, so I'm very excited to hear about this.
Yeah, it might be long-winded. There's just a lot going on.
When is anything short-winded with us? So.
Yeah, hardly ever. We're trying to get this one in a little bit tighter, but I still don't think so.
Yeah, and I don't know about your we have quite the episode for you. I don't know if I would categorize this as quite the episode.
Listen, I'm driving this ship and I just want to kind of amp you guys up to try and get this thing locked and loaded here. So what do you guys want to start with? I can get right into my weekend if you want.
Well, let's start with Friday. I think that's the way the weekend started, right?
Yeah, Friday started great. We went and saw Pete. It turns out that they were set up for a long drive competition, which
was
pretty cool to see. And I guess that went really well. Shout out to Kyle Nolan. He told me about it. I guess he was there all weekend. He said it was just a complete surplus of content because I guess Saturday, anybody could go in there and just take hacks. Like if they thought that they could actually win.
But, so
like, this wasn't just a long drive competition. Kyle Berkshire was there.
Yeah.
Really?
Competing.
So my lookalike.
He's the number one ranked long drive competitor in the country. So
he was there.
He was there, dude. Yeah, he was there on Sunday, I believe. Yeah. I'm not sure. He had to be Saturday too.
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was the qualifying. So you want to tell the story about the meathead that went in there?
Yeah, dude, that's the best. Yeah, so Berkshire too is
it's Berkshire or Berkshire?
Berkshire, Kyle Berkshire, Berkshire. I think it might be Berkshire. I have no idea, honestly. I think that one could go either way.
Yeah.
Like that's a true 50-50.
I don't know about Seamus,
but yeah. I think at least this one might be a true 50-50.
I think out of all three of us, I'm the best at pronouncing names.
I'm terrible. I am trash.
Yeah. Frankie's cursed by the Seamus, and you are just, you can't even say Ballo still. You're like, oh, Pete Ballo.
I don't know what it is. Right.
But anyways,
I was going to say Berkshire's trying to, he's like trying to make it on the mini tour now, which is crazy that he openly has said, I saw a couple interviews with him that he's just so good at the long drive stuff. And that it comes like kind of so easy to him right now that he doesn't have to put all the time in that the other guys do, so that he can really just, he can focus on regular golf because he's trying to actually make it. And that's a little bit of a different swing. I think he still hits like 8-iron 220 or something ridiculous. So he still mashes, but yeah, he's so nasty at the long drive that he's just does it for a couple months a year and is like the reigning whatever world champ. So apparently there was a dude rolling around the driving range who I think he was kind of described to you, Ronnie, as like a Popeye looking guy, like big muscular tank top, like tattoos, kind of strutting his shit around. And he was looking for somebody that worked there to try to let them know that they need to mow back the field where the end of the essentially like with the long drive, it's like a landing strip. It's like a, I think it started at like 280 and it ended at what, like 420? Did he
the
say?
The sign ended at 400.
Yeah.
But the, we were talking to Ron, and he said it was mowed at 430.
At 430. And the guy was saying that he was hitting it into the corn and that, Kyle, when he found out that Kyle Berkshire was going to be there. Berkshire now it feels like it should be
definitely Berkshire.
It's definitely Berkshire. He better be worried, like he better know I'm coming for him, like I've been hoping to see him, like
Kyle should be worried about this guy, like get the hell out of here.
And then
4:30.
Ridiculous. and then you got word, Ronnie, that what he was like barely, he wasn't even carrying 300.
He wasn't even carrying 300.
So he did show up to hit.
So he barely out carried you.
Right.
From the numbers.
Light work.
Doesn't Kyle Berkshire like roll with Bryson too? Isn't he good?
They've worked out together. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You see him doing the speed training and all that crap together.
Yeah. So, his Instagram's pretty good follow. He just posts constantly about him playing holes at like, you know, he's hitting like 4 iron off the tee into like, you know, 580 par fives and stuff. It's just so stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah. He's a sick putter guy too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we're same team. I should have had him go sign my putter or something.
That's
like
kind of crazy that he was there though.
I know. I wanted to be there, but I had the net championship and boy, just a lot going on.
Right.
So yeah, we got to see Pete, which was nice. Worked on a lot of good things. I think we're starting to, I feel like we're starting to get into more in-depth stuff when we're there, and which is nice because it's just, you know, we're just dialing in more, like, and I thought it was cool. You guys did a lot of work with your driver, really, right?
Yeah.
Mainly what I was working on, Frank, because you didn't get there, unfortunately. But that whole muscle thing that we talked about,
yeah,
the inside muscle, that's the bicep. Yeah, that's completely related to my pulls.
Really?
Oh, I thought we just had a fart gate there.
you were looking at your computer like there was like a rewind button, like holy shit, I gotta go back.
Yeah.
This thing DVR.
Yeah. That was a water so Frankie, bottle. Yeah, if anybody heard that, like I did,
suction on the water bottle.
It wasn't a fart. It was just Frankie.
I wish it was.
That'd be so funny.
Fart gate, he says.
Yeah, so also this is why we can't ever get under 40 minutes because of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Facts.
But yeah, the big thing, because I've been, when I play, my miss is that pull right. And we always just thought it was tempo, and that's part of it. But the other part is I'm just like too closed.
You're closing it as
like,
you come
I'm
down.
I'm closing it too far, like too early. So yeah. I have to just make sure to keep that muscle towards
what's the fix there though. Obviously that's easier said than done. What did he give you any like think about this a little bit, or do you have in your mind what you need to think about when you're doing that? Because
I haven't really figured it out, to be honest.
Gotcha.
I hit a few just really, and like just thinking about it, like overcompensating almost.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I've come to grips with, is like because I learned a lot in my round on Sunday about that. And it's like when I do something or I'm in a funk or not swinging right, like I really have to over exaggerate things to get it back to work, like so it's normal, right?
Yeah.
So like my biggest thing is like with that shoulder turn, always putting my right shoulder towards the ball and getting more
vertical,
steep,
kind of,
you know?
Yeah.
So like when I do it, like I have to consciously like say, okay, really over exaggerate it, and then it kind of gets back to normal. Like, so that was when I was there, that was like the main thing I was doing, is just like super like over exaggerating to the point where I would miss left, like really just get the feeling and then just try and hone it in. So
yeah, so almost miss left. Yeah, like so
yeah
so
exactly.
you're almost opening everything up a little bit more.
Yeah
that exactly. Was what I was gonna say. I was like, do you, because when I start missing left, and it's happened more and more with my new grip, that kind of pull hook that's really sharp and aggravating. I think I talked about this with you in one of our rounds we played together, Ronnie, is I like was like, just miss right. Like for me, miss right. Yeah. Just like concentrate on trying to hit the ball right. Mm-hmm. And that does work for me. So I was interested to see if that was the same case for you.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't work. It didn't work on Sunday until like the last six holes, but there was a lot going on. There's just a lot. There's a lot of things. John, would you took a lot of swings, and I also want to talk about that chipping thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Siekman. Yeah. It's similar to you. I think, like that point you were just making about that pull. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I have something like similar to that, but I really have to think about it's like the matching, the timing of my like hands and my hips. And it's my hands are just too quick. And like, I have to slow them down. And like that's been the theme for me, is just like finding that kind of hip rotation. Cause I have that early extension where I like kind of lunge, like almost like thrust up towards the ball, which gets me like that over the top pull. Which I severely suffer from. but it's changed a lot though. I will say, like with the driver, I'm definitely starting to like slot it more. Like it's starting to be on the right plane. And I'm starting to get a little more consistent with it.
You hit a couple Friday night that were just super long. Like,
yeah, like
super,
yeah,
where super
are you,
long.
Yeah. Like what are you maxing out at right now, Kevin? Cause I feel like, yo. I feel like this year alone, you've put like, I don't know, you tell me, 15, 20 yards on your drive. Easy.
Oh, easily.
Oh yeah, for easily. Sure. Easily. If yeah. I can like figure it out.
He's carrying what he used to roll out to.
Right. Yeah. Which is like 300.
Yeah. Well, I carried like, carried like the good ones were like, yeah, 285. I had a couple roll out to like three something, like yeah. 312, I think was the longest one, but they're
super long.
It's just like, I'm starting to finally figure out that kind of just that plane. Like I've never found, it's taken me a long time to even come like close to this, and I'm nowhere near consistent enough, but I finally have a feel. That was like the one thing I was really happy with leaving Pete's Friday, was I finally think I actually have a feel for my driver swing, which I did not think I had.
So I don't know if by feel you mean, but my biggest thing that I noticed with you, and Frank, we were kind of trying to do this the last time, is like knowing where we hit the ball on the face. And like when you would miss, John, you'd be like, oh, that was high toe.
Always.
And then you'd look on the thing and it was high toe.
Yeah.
And if you missed low, you were like low toe, or like, that was a little, like you were just nailing exactly where you were hitting it. So that's, I don't know if that's what you're talking about, feel or like your actual swing, but something's going right for sure.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, is that the feel now that I have, I never really had like a comfortable feel with the driver swing. Like it's always been kind of so erratic that I finally have a feel now that I think like that I can reproduce. And that, to your point, like what you were just saying, that I feel like I have enough confidence in that I know what it's doing, or I can at least like, I can feel what I'm doing. Right. But yeah, I don't know. It's proven to be seen. So I don't know. We'll see.
It's pretty wild, but we had a great time. Thank you, Pete, again.
Yeah,
we're going to have him on again.
Oh, the chipping.
The chipping thing.
Yeah.
This was like a revelation. I didn't really get to try it
out. I'm intrigued right now. I'm intrigued by the chipping thing.
It's going to change pretty much everything, because I put it into play on Sunday, and granted they weren't the best shots, but boy, did I have some spin on them, man. Like it's a game changer. So you want to explain it, John, or you?
I'll talk a little bit about it, which the idea was, I just went to Pete at the end and I was like, I'm kind of having trouble right now in that like 20 to 30 yard chipping range, where I'm just like in between what I want to do with like the golf ball. Like, do I want to hit it low and stop? Do I want it to like, I was kind of opening up my the wedge too much, and like kind of playing probably more difficult shots than I should have been. And I didn't feel real comfortable about, I hadn't been practicing wedges a lot, but I didn't really feel real comfortable over those. So I just wanted to kind of like hit a couple and see what he thought. And right away he was like, so, you know, remember in Chasing Scratch, the Siekman? Remember hearing that? So that guy is this like world-class like wedge coach.
Gotcha. I never got that reference. Yep.
Yeah. So that's what it's from, is they had a lesson with him, and it was like, it's his like teaching. And Pete, I forget what they were doing, but like they met one night, or they were at like a conference somewhere, and Pete kind of got this, he learned this technique of the Seekman from one of the top wedge coaches in the country. And
only took two bottles of wine, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I forgot what it was. I forgot if it was glasses or bottles. So I think it was two bottles.
Yeah.
And he got this this legendary teaching. But dude, so it's Ronnie, you can like go ahead and explain kind of what it is.
Or yeah, how to do it. Basically, there's a couple things to it. So, you know, when you're chipping like that, like usually, you know, chipping or pitching. I want to get into this too, a chipping pitching thing after.
Okay. Pitching versus pitching.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Cause I had I don't want to get too crazy right now.
Yeah. Go ahead. But, keep going.
But yeah. So usually like when you're closer, you know, your feet are a little closer together, but you're still right on the ball. And then you weight's a little bit forward, and you know, those are like the normal things that, you know, but he was basically saying that like a lot of people don't get as much spin and stuff because they can't hit ball first. It's not like how their stance is and where they're setting up, it's not allowing them to hit the ball and then
bend the grass.
With as much speed as they can, right? So he told John to like basically move his legs into like his contact position,
but no forward lean. Like like he said, the forward lean and hitting chips is a myth. Which I thought was interesting, like another, the weight on the front foot.
Yeah, which is completely blew everything that I knew about chipping. Yeah. Like I thought that was how you got to hit ball first, right?
Turns out, in my mind, it makes sense.
Right, that's right? Like one of the first things you do, yeah.
So he said because the swing isn't a full swing and it's a short, small, compact swing, that you don't get to a finish contact, so you're not allowing yourself to get to the ball first. So basically, you put your legs like in your contact position and then you swing, not moving anything on the bottom half.
No lower half.
So just like hips. Just and,
literally, like it's wild.
It is wild.
I watched.
So when you say your legs are in like if you were to hit it, kind of like bent a little bit forward.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yes.
If you were to just naturally right now finish, without anything, were to hit that 30-yard chip, like where you would be if you were finishing, like just that kind of little like knees like bent a little bit, leaning towards.
Yeah, Frankie's getting up right now.
Yeah, okay.
Feeling it.
Yeah, like
right. So your right leg would be like more locked in, you know.
Yeah,
dude, you clip the ball. You clip it.
So here's the other thing. Here's the other thing.
Me.
No, like in general, like when you do it right, when you do it properly, you will clip the ball. Like,
so here's the other thing, Frank. Here's the other thing that John knew apparently, but I didn't, and it blew my mind. So you know how like on a wedge, right, the wedge gets bigger on the toe?
Yeah.
Right? So on these chip shots or pitch shots, whichever one you want to call it, you're supposed to hit it like towards the toe so that the ball hits that whole, all those
grooves or whatever. Grooves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's where you get your spin from.
Create the spin.
Yeah. So let me tell you something. I went to the range and I did it. And that's all I thought about from Friday till I went to the range.
Just thinking about towing it the whole time. Is that
not
what you're thinking?
Yeah.
About?
Not towing it. Just,
not even towing it. It's almost like you're just moving the center of the club, just like up a little towards the toe. Little. Like you're still trying to hit it kind of like within the grooves with a middle spot. So like you have that to aim for, but you're just
giving yourself just a whole new line and just much spin.
Spin and soft.
I hit a couple. Really? I hit a couple at the range, and they hadn't mowed the range in a while, and it's thick grass, and that shit was spinning back like a goddamn groundhog. Just
it was
ridiculous. Balls.
Like I'm you know, I consider a decent, you know, chipper of the ball, and I get no spin.
What's Dinardi say? You have the hands of a pedophile.
yeah,
exactly. Incredible!
Just so soft,
but
The Kirk Sig line.
Oh man, I'm playing tomorrow. Now I'm gonna like think about this the whole time.
I would suggest just go to the green and just hit a. You'll notice
yeah, you'll
it.
Feel it.
You can do it even closer to the green. Like just chip around and you'll be able to feel the just. Oh man,
I love incredible. It's so straight back and like straightforward. It's so controllable.
Yeah,
like,
it takes a lot.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this. Just
once you, really, you just have to aim at the flag, and then it's just distance from there. Like once you get the distance, and like you could actually choose what you want to do. If you're gonna go high loft and go at it, like
exactly or
the little chippy just. Yeah. I called a two hop stop on the 18th green. And I did it. I put it like 3 feet. Like I was just like, this is going to two hop stop right next to the flag. And it just went dunk, dunk, stop. Like it's incredible.
Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
It's something he would do. He would say it and then he would do it.
Yeah.
I said and did a lot of things on Sunday. It was pretty incredible.
You've been a big showboater here. I think that's been a theme recently.
Yeah, dude, I have. I just say. Walk off putts. I say I'm going to bogey and I bogey. it's pretty incredible. Yeah. But, dude, another crazy thing happened. I just got a text from, I think he listens, Jesse McKay, old Magoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't play a lot of golf, but this dude, everybody's just going low. He just said he shot a 92 without using a driver. And he said all last year he was in the hundreds, no problem.
Without using a driver. Oh, yeah. God, how relatable.
His next words were that I'm buying a one iron and going to master that. And I said,
should probably master the rest of your bag first. Said,
well, maybe
have you ever heard that before? Let's be honest. Have you ever heard anybody say that phrase before?
After shooting the best round of their life,
I'm going to buy a one iron and master it.
No, I never have.
That's incredible.
Shout out to him. Everybody is just balling. Hammy dropped again. He shot an 84 on Sunday.
Yeah, dude. Like, he's like 13-6.
I witnessed it. He's a 13-6. And I had commented.
He dropped six strokes this year.
Unfortunately, I.
Five strokes.
With my round, I had an 83 coming off, and I did not shoot an 83. So I'm up to an 11.7 now, guys.
Where'd you go up? Like 0.2. 0.2.
Oh,
0.2.
That's nothing.
It warranted a comment from Mr. Hamilton is that he said we're on a collision course.
Oh my God.
Oh man. Oh,
wow.
Man.
Wow. The 0.2 increase.
So the kid, Roddy is on one.
This puts pressure on you though, man.
For what?
Because say that does happen.
Is he about to catch you?
If Hammy catches you, man, listen, you've gone down this year too, but
there's gotta be some sort of repercussion if he catches.
Like there's no pressure on him.
If he catches me.
We need to decide something right now.
If he catches me, I will golf righty for a year.
Oh my
God.
That
is so aggressive. Yeah. That is so aggressive.
That's how because if
Jesus, dude.
No, I'm telling you. If he catches up to me lefty, there's no point in even golfing lefty. I should just go to righty and just try it out.
No credit for him. That's just total like lack of respect.
He's a habitual 18 handicap. Like for a 7-year run, and then to do this is drastic.
Yeah.
So and there's no changes, which is even more crazy.
Well, like, there's no changes.
No, he did take lessons. He's taken a couple lessons, I believe, with Paul Ramey. From Bulls Bridge. His dad gave him some for Christmas, I believe. So he has been taking that. But the biggest thing that he's
done. I didn't know that.
Didn't know that?
No, I did not know that. That's developing. Wow.
There was a stretch of golf or like a stretch of the month.
This makes more sense now.
He was nuts. He golfed. Christ. It had to be because he had the member guest. And then like 2 weeks before that, he had. 2 or 3 weeks he had a lesson each week.
Oh,
so like
wow.
he really hammered down.
See, I was going to say maybe it was a perspective thing now that he's a father, but I knew it couldn't have been that. No. So the lessons make way more sense.
It's lessons. It's okay, not good. Perspective.
I didn't want to have a kid to drop six strokes because that makes no sense. That's counterintuitive.
I have two and I still haven't dropped. But yeah, it was crazy. So I'll get into my round. I'm the only one that played. It was the net championship. But before this, I had the first wedding in a long time, like a real wedding,
booted and suited,
like a real wedding. And there was a couple things that opened my eyes. First off, it was on July 31st, which means I woke up and golfed in August, which it's just I can't believe it's here already. Like, we're counting down to Candlewood, and we have like 3 months of golf left. That's it. It's concerning. Okay.
Listen,
so that's my first thing. The second thing, I need to start working out. Okay.
The dance floor hurt you?
Not just the dance floor. It was the suit. So it was, it's either the dry cleaners messed up, or your boy put on a cute couple pounds.
They messed up. How so?
Like, shrunk my suit. They must have put it in the dryer. Like,
I could see them doing that.
Yeah, I could see them doing it for sure.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, the suit was fitting. I couldn't button. I couldn't button.
Hey, listen, I've been there.
Boy.
Yeah. So those are the two things. So I'm starting to get nervous. I feel like, you know, we've been doing the podcast every week and we're staying loyal and we're doing stuff, but I feel like we've been on a little bit of vacation. So I'm going to start hammering down, getting a little better, not having as many brain farts, maybe eat a couple more salads this month. It's got to happen. So those are the two things that the wedding brought to my attention. Also, I hadn't drank that much in a long time. And Pete told me, he said, I was like, man, I think I'm going to take it easy at the wedding. And he's like, dude, if you do that, it's just, you got to do what you know. Just don't change anything. Like, you're going to think too much about this. So I went after it and I had, there was a lot going on. There was a lot flowing. I set my alarm at 5:30, or I set my alarm for Sunday at 5:30 so that I could go to the range and do everything. But I didn't get in until about 1:30 and I didn't drive home. So we got there. Hammy threw me off. He met me at the range, which he hasn't been to a tee time early in like forever. And like, he's been chirping the whole time. Like, he's been trying to get in my head and like, this is step one. Like, I got to beat you out of the house. Like, step two, like going through all this stuff, but whatever.
Jesus.
We get to the round and I had a decent range session. I worked on the chipping. I felt good. Like, everything was going good. And then, I mean, I just didn't have it. I was like, nothing like felt like really, really solid. I was getting away with some tops. I hit a drive that barely probably went over 6 feet and just ran. Like, there was just so many low drives and like that toppy kind of thing that I have gone through already. So yeah, until like, Jesus, hole like 13, 12 or 13, I didn't start to feel like actually good. And I ended up shooting an 88. So that's why my handicap is so high now.
So high.
11.7. But it was a learning experience because like I went through like a lot of different like trial and error kind of things to try and get it back. And like, I couldn't find it. I couldn't find what it was until late. So I was happy to find it, and that's earlier than normal. So I guess that's a plus, and I was trying to take the positives. But I guess the biggest thing, and we kind of talked about it, is Hammy might be for real.
Yeah, he shot what, 84?
He shot one of the worst 84s I've ever seen.
Oh,
like,
my God.
He was so dialed that like the doubles were just dumb. Like, it was incredible to watch. Like, And not to shake my head at Dave either. He shot a 94.
I know, like, dude. He dropped two.
The way these guys are playing, it was like, like they've been doing this their whole lives. Like they just were just out there just playing golf. Dave after
they're
wedding,
comfy
too.
On that track.
Yeah. Dave was at
yeah, you gotta get him off that track.
I know. And I was asking them about it and they seem to believe that they'll be able
to play anywhere else.
Well, I mean, Hammy shot 82.
I know. Hammy plays Ridgewood, I guess.
But that's basically his second candle. Yeah. He's been playing that since he was a little baby. So it's tough to say. I don't know. I mean, if Hammy hits his four iron, like he just hits the ball so far.
Where
like he's like a club up on me. And I mean, he's hitting his freaking eight iron, like 170, 175.
What's his dad's? Is there a chance that what's his dad's handicap?
I'm not sure.
Is there a chance that we are in the same flight in the member guest?
No.
God. No.
No. No. No.
Oh my God.
No. Tear Bear is up there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I was gonna say
he ain't gonna be in the last flight though. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. For sure. Yeah.
So the other revelation that happened, Hammy was pretty excited. He shot a 69 net. For two under and thought that he was going to be, you know, at the top.
Yeah.
There's a couple guys that finished minus four and then one guy that finished minus three. And then Hammy was like fourth or fifth there with the minus two with a couple guys. But there was a dude there that shot 14 under.
Wait, stop.
What? Stop. Who? Who?
Yeah, yeah.
You need a name.
Jimmy Gilbert or Jeremy Gilbert or some. I'd have to look up his name.
Wait. Hold on. Let me time out here. So
he's like a 24 handicap.
There was two guys who shot four under, and then there was a guy, and then the best was 14 under. So
okay. So here's two. Yeah. So two. I'll actually Jeremy Johnson is up there too. So Ron Ross minus four, Jeremy Johnson minus four, Pete Kecker, you know Pete, he was in our flight minus three, old Scribby, Gary Scribner at minus three, and then Hammy at five. But this kid Jimmy Gilbert, he shot a 50, he shot a 57 net.
Oh my God!
A gross 81, and he had never broken 90 before.
And he shot 81.
He almost broke 80. He almost
God.
You know what? Breaking 90s for pussies. I'm going to break 80.
Yo, that is savage.
Like, are you kidding me? I knew I was going to be in the middle of the pack. I shot a plus five. So I'm going to have to go super low to make anything happen. But dude, that guy, Jimmy Gilbert, the phenom on Sunday.
Yeah.
He dropped six strokes in
on
one
his handicap.
Week. 1 week.
Oh my right, dude.
He started
a lot of
at
these
a,
dudes are
he
going
started
the wrong
at
way
a 24.
The
literally started at a 24 and now is like an 18 point something.
Holy wow. Dude, this system is crazy.
In one round.
The new system is crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah. And Hammy was like, man, I hope they do it so he plays like to a lower number, so it hopefully evens out.
Right.
I think he did the math, and so old Jimmy's got to shoot like a 95, and Hammy's got to shoot an 80, and he wins.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So that's pretty wild stuff.
If Hammy closes the door, if he wins this tournament,
oh my
that
God.
Would be. I mean, I don't. We might have to have him on as a guest.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
That would be incredible.
Wait on. When's the finish?
It's Sunday.
It's a two round, but they do two weekends.
It's a two round thing.
I didn't know that. I thought the 14 under was it.
Yeah, but, no. We have that was qualifying. So actually, we're getting luck. I'm getting lucky because I'm in the middle of the pack.
You make the cut.
There's no cut, but I'm probably like, if I wanted to play somewhere else, I probably could. But Brett is coming back and he's playing, and then Krafik, you're getting into it too.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be my CMG.
We're going to have a little CMG practice, which is nice. And it looks like Lou Heaton might be in with us. There's a bunch of guys at minus five. So, I got to play with a guy from the league.
So plus five.
Plus five. Wait.
You said a bunch of guys at minus five. Minus five.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I wasn't at minus five. I was at plus five. Sorry. okay. All right. So before we get into the Olympics thing, I have a serious question for you. That my best buddy Hammy was appalled that I didn't know the difference between chipping and pitching. He said, you have a golf podcast and you don't even realize the difference between chipping and pitching. So what is chipping and pitching? Do you know without looking it up?
Without like specifically looking it up?
Like what, if you were to describe a pitch shot?
A pitch would be more of like a punch and run, and a chip would be like chipping.
All right, Frank, what about you?
I was going to go more distance wise. Like chipping is, I don't know, closer to the green, and pitching I would consider like from a, like a more of like a 40 to, I don't know, 40 yard shot or so in that range. Like that's a pitch to me.
Okay. So I was,
but I just call everything chipping. First of all, I've heard this before. And before you go on,
yeah,
someone said to me as well about a rule in golf, and they're like, you have a golf podcast, you should know that. Okay. Let's all relax.
Let's all
that.
Be honest.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't have the rule book always in front of me going, I'm going to, So I want to dismiss that real quick.
Yeah. Where's the list of requirements needed?
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Have one?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Granted, I feel like. My point of this whole thing is, who the hell cares what you call it?
I'm so curious. I'm so curious to know what the
graphic
answer is.
Graphic, you absolutely nailed it. So basically, what it is a pitch shot goes longer than it does high.
Right.
A chip shot goes higher than it does long.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So a chip is like a flop, and a pitch is more of a bump and run.
Right.
Right. Or makes sense.
That makes sense. But hold on. So a chip shot goes higher than it does long.
Yeah.
How often do you actually pitch then? Right. Or how often do you actually chip?
But here's my thing. Like, what's high enough to be a chip? And
that's
what's
what I'm saying.
Low
like,
enough
around
to be,
the green,
right?
Yeah,
like, I don't think
the categorization matters. Like, I don't even think statistically they're categorized in two different boxes. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I think that's complete semantics.
He had an absolute conniption fit
that is
about
incredible.
This. And every time he did a pitch or chip shot,
he called it out.
He let me know about it exactly what
you
it was.
You should ask it. What you should have done is go. Hey,
he is
flexing
you
pitching this or are you chipping this? What are you doing here? Right. You could do either. Hey, Ham, what are you doing?
Not that I know the difference, but you could.
No, but if he does opposite, you just call it
and,
out.
And
but
start
that's
arguing
the thing.
I still don't know. Arguing the distance. Start saying like that only went like 9 feet in the air, and it probably went like 12 feet. So it was actually shorter than it was
actually,
long.
It was actually
so that was actually just a really high pitch. It was a high pitch.
Yeah, that was just a high pitch.
Start saying like nice high pitch.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'd be like, oh, that was
get
a
it up
sick
a little
low.
Further.
That was a sick low chip. Like
But like when you're around the, I agree, it's all semantics, and I think it's all who the hell cares.
Yeah.
Right. But like whenever you're around the green, or like I personally always say chip.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, I'm like, oh, good chip. You know what I mean? I'm not like good pitch.
No one. Yeah, that's not said. Hopefully,
I usually
hopefully.
Just say good
if you're
shot.
Saying that, don't say it.
Yeah. Like if you're in the bunker, right?
No, and nice you... chip. It's always nice chip.
Yeah. I honestly think that I have that wrong. I feel like
now you think it's the other way.
Now I think it's the other way. Now
let's just move on because
now
think
that I'm
this,
thinking
this,
about
this, this, this
no wait you're saying that pitch is high. No way, pitch is high.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think because that's what was blowing my mind. So here's the thing: we're gonna let everybody simmer on this. We're gonna put something up on Instagram, and we're gonna have a big discussion on this next podcast.
Are we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we shouldn't give it the time of day. That's
what I think. All right. Well, I just wanted to see if I wasn't the only crazy one that says
you're
good
not.
Shot instead of nice pitch or
right.
nice chip.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the Olympics. What do we got?
Oh God.
I mean, where do you want to start? It was so it was exciting.
The Koreans are going to war.
Oh my God. I think Rory Sabatini is a better story than Xander winning.
For sure.
You think so? I mean,
on so many different levels.
They're both good stories.
On so many different levels.
I mean, we got to give the gold medalist his due. You actually called it.
Yeah, you called it.
I did call it.
You said this would be such made a the most standard sense. Thing to do. Like,
yeah, so it was. So doesn't matter. So it's okay. So, all right, let's give a little info to that. So he had the 54 hole lead going into Sunday. And he had four of those on tour. He didn't win any of those tournaments. And he actually brought that up, that it was important for him to close this out because he knew that that stat was out there because he has played poorly whenever he's had the lead. And yeah, dude, I watched his first three holes on Sunday and man, was he dialed. Like,
didn't he
I was
like,
oh, he's
1, 2 and six or something.
He starts birdie and I think he almost birdied 3-2. But he was just dialed. And I was like, oh, he's going to run away with this. Then I fell asleep because it was obviously the stupidest timing. Like, no one was. I can't believe, too, that goes
anybody,
to a
if
bronze
anybody,
medal goes to a playoff.
If literally if anybody in America saw that 7-man playoff for bronze, good for you.
Yeah,
like, good for you.
Right.
Because it looked pretty exciting. Like,
it did look exciting.
From what I heard.
And then, yeah, I guess, you know, I wake up and obviously see that he won, but I guess like I think he played the last like 10 holes even. He bogeyed one of the par fives coming in. I think it was like 14.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and down from 100 yards on 18, which was kind of like a close the door moment. But and he did get up. I mean, he got up and down from 100 yards out to win the tournament, which is impressive.
A little nervy putt there.
It was. Yeah, very, very nervy. But yeah, no, like very impressive. Obviously, I don't know if you were going to talk about it, but the kind of like the family lineage of.
Yeah, I didn't realize his dad was such a stud.
Yeah, I know. So his grandfather was like a German athlete, a track and field athlete who missed the games because of like a shoulder injury. And then, yeah, his dad was a decathlete who I don't know the story. I don't know if you know, but yeah, his career was cut short because he was hit by a drunk driver. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly like what that story is, but
at least he's got a cool story to have a lazy eye.
The Shawnee eye.
Yeah, the Shawnee. Yeah, golly. Yeah.
I
started getting that Saturday night, I think.
So yeah, right. So yeah, I mean, what is like? I don't know. What do you think that this means? Like, what does this mean? Like, what's an Olympic win
for Xander, or
yeah,
for just like
just
in general?
Kind of in general, but
in
for Xander
general,
too. Like, what does this really mean?
I mean, for Xander, it's the best thing he's done in his career.
Right. I don't even know what weight like. Really an Olympic gold holds.
So here's the thing that I learned about the Olympics that I think turned me off is I'm not a big limited field tourney.
That's 60 guys.
It had 60 guys.
It had the strength of field that was just slightly stronger than the 3M. So in comparison, just barely. Yeah.
If they had 80 people,
but
it wouldn't have been.
Yeah, no, it's. Yeah. I mean, it's. You're still winning a golf tournament. You got to beat 59
other guys.
No, I get
that.
I'm with you. I'm with
he's
you.
He's won the tour.
The problem with the field
twice,
thing, like, though, the problem with the field though is and we talked about this last time a little bit with like the solution to all of this. There's no solution to that because you can't have 15 Americans in it. You know what I mean? Like, which would make the field better. You know what I mean? Like like how many Americans are in the top 15? Probably 10, right? Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't have all these Americans and then a bunch of, you know, like, so there's no solution to the strength of the field. The only solution to that is other countries getting better at golf, right? If more guys from other countries are in the top 60 in the world or whatever, like, that's the solution. But unfortunately, the field's always going to be the way it is.
Right.
Like, the field's never going to be stronger.
Which is like exactly to a point like that makes
why
a
it's
point.
Not, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, kind of why it doesn't hold the weight that it. I don't know. I mean, people enjoy it, but
yeah, it's a gold. I don't know why I didn't get into it. Like, I don't know if it was the timing of it why I didn't really watch it, or
we just had a super season.
I was busy anyway, but like, it just, you have the WGC next week. You have, you know, we just had a major. Like,
it was a bye week.
There's, you know, people are on vacation. It's kind of just summertime and busy as hell. And I don't know, man. Does it do anything for Xander? I mean, are people going to be more nervous now that he has a gold medal? I don't think so.
I don't think this one breaks the seal, really.
No,
I think it's a good win. Like, I think it's,
yeah, you can't shake your head.
It's impressive. Like, no, you can't. What, he shoot 18 under?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing. That's another thing too, is like, I did watch the golf course a little bit Thursday. And it was just kind of, there was nothing really like, I mean, and dudes killed it Sunday. Yeah. Like they just set it up like obviously super easy. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, I think now that they've done, like, I was listening to another golf podcast, and they said something about, like, now that there's been 2 years of the 72 hole format, like, they might be able to, like, switch stuff up, like the 3-on-3 basketball, like, they're changing stuff up like that. I just feel like this format is just, I get what you said last week about, that's what we decide the best golfers every week.
That was their reasoning, is that, yeah, which that's I, what they modeled it off of, which I understand. That,
but like, I just feel like you're just going out there and playing, each player is just going out there and playing the course. They're not battling each other like country for country. But if it was USA versus Spain, and then this, you know, Slovakia against like the big roar. Roar Sabatini from Slovakia, the old Slovakian.
Yeah.
They did some sort of match play or something, and not even like, even like in between, like the guys and the girls play, right? Do like a 3-day tournament, or like, and do like a mixed thing with the, where there's a guy and a girl and they play.
Yeah, they do that in the triathlon now too. Like they have I think it's a triathlon.
And I mean, the swimmers do the relay races now. And like, that never happened a long time ago. They're changing all this stuff. Like they could do something.
Yeah.
We could do something more fun that would be exciting. Yeah, we've talked about it
to golf to not do anything.
I know. and Tokyo.
That's the thing, is like, that if you think about it just from like the Olympic kind of thought process too, is like, man, nobody's watching this just because it's like, oh, the golf is back in the Olympics. Like nobody's watching it.
Dude,
so
even in 2016, you're going to do watch.
Like at least do, and with it being just like a solo individual event, like it's even hard to watch just as like, oh, I'm rooting for my country. Cause it's not a team event, you know, it's such an individual event. Like
I would have rather seen Matsuyama finish it out. Like that would have been a cool story in his, you know, home country doing his
thing. Exactly.
It feels less for the United States. Like,
right.
It's like,
like, wow. Xander did what he was supposed to do. Like, JT sucked. Colin was in the – he almost got banned, so he was there.
Yeah, he was like, in the playoff.
It was just more of like, yeah, okay, like, you're one of the best players in the world. You should have done that.
Yeah,
like,
we know this already.
I've said that before, and, like, I don't know. We're just too spoiled with good golfers. But I –
But even that's
something.
That's what the team format does too, is it allows those underdog stories, which you have a story like Sabatini on Sunday today. And right. Like, I mean, I don't know, obviously I don't know how much there is of golf following really in Slovakia, but if there was enough for them, that's
nuts.
A cool story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough for them to want him to do it. Like, yeah. I heard that he did this like 3 years ago or something purposely for this.
Yeah, so you know, yeah, do you know that story? You know,
I don't
know. Yeah, so Rory Sabatini is, I think he's South African. He was born and raised, and realized that he was not going to make the Olympics based on his talent level through the like South African team or whatever.
Yeah. He got Louis,
and I forget who the other one.
Charles Schwartzel, probably.
Yeah. So yeah. For whatever reason, so 4 years ago, he decided to, he legit just took his wife is Slovakian. So he just took her nationality and went and became a Slovakian citizen because he knew that there's no way he wasn't going to make the Olympics. Like, he was easily going to be the best player in Slovakia. There's only one other good pro. So he's locked in, and then he wins a medal.
Yeah, but that's what's crazy. Like, he would have never been in the Olympics if he didn't do that. And now he's got a silver medal. Like that silver medal is way bigger for Slovakia than it is the gold medal for the U.S. I mean, just add it to our count. Like,
which it also feels like it's funny how like at the kind of like biggest stage in sports, like the Olympics, like somehow there's still like legit like an AAU like baseball and basketball feel to it, where like you're kind of like playing a kid that's in a U18 tournament that's like 20 years old. Like you have somebody who's not even supposed to be like playing for your country, playing for your country. Like, yeah, just at the highest level, how scummy
it is. Like Slovakians, like are they rooting for Rory? I mean, I'm sure they are, but it's like, he's not even Slovakian. He's Michael.
Yeah. Because his wife is from there. Yeah, and he gets it's like, national. Like what? Yeah,
I didn't,
but I guess,
I didn't know you could do that.
I know.
I'm pretty positive. I'm
starting to think of like, yeah, what country is Shelby's related? Like,
yeah, exactly.
What's her nationality?
I might.
Did you play handball somewhere?
Doesn't soccer do that too, though? Like, the United States soccer team is just like all Germans.
It's so weird. It's not in the.
So okay, this is an Olympics question for you guys. Like, or it's more of a, I guess, a comment, and then you guys can talk about it, but. Like baseball, right? Baseball in the Olympics is like all like minor leaguers and stuff. It's not, you know, I know they're in season, obviously, right now in MLB, but like then basketball is, you know, and it's like all pros. And like in soccer, I think men's soccer is like 19 and under or something. And women's soccer is the best players in the world. That whole thing about the Olympics just rubs me the wrong way. Like, let's make it the same for everything. I just don't understand that.
Yeah, like anybody can try. Like, you got to have tryouts. Like, you don't just get picked.
Well, no, that just shows like kind of where the Olympics really like stand. Like, depending on the sport it is, it's like you're kind of like a second grade thing. Like, you're a tournament that like we'll try to work you in. I mean, look like what the hockey does. But professional sports are like, yo, this is like you're not.
It doesn't mean anything to us.
So it's like
the World Cup is and for good reason, the World Cup is bigger than the Olympics, right?
Right.
And that's why I think they don't have like the men's soccer is not the best players in the world. It's like 19 and under.
They should just take the big sports out of the Olympics. Because
should they do that for golf?
Yeah.
Like just make it like
make it the amateurs
or something. Oh,
just
I don't
make
know.
It
yeah.
Amateurs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that would be probably about the same amount of people would watch, I would guess.
That's what I mean. Like, I think you would.
That
you may like there
same
may be
thing
a
for like basketball
interest.
And shit like that too.
Maybe
like,
that gives you a better chance at doing like a more like team event where it's more fair, where there's actual. That's the thing, is like how many, you know, countries are represented in the amateur golf game, but they have to be a lot now.
It's true.
Yeah. Like at least represented in some way. Maybe it's not the top of the top D1, like, you know, on the circuit, but
yeah,
got to be kids out there that are at some level.
I think that could add like a more patriotic or nationalistic like approach to golf, because as we're saying right now, like all these guys play in such big tournaments every week that it's like doesn't mean anything to us that they're going to play in Tokyo against a limited field. But I guess if it was a bunch of kids playing, we may, like, similar to the other sports like gymnastics and swimming, like we like rally around these people who we literally have never heard of.
Yeah.
Right.
And have and we great see stories win. And like,
right. And we're like, oh, Caleb Dressel, like this guy's, you know, amazing. He's an amazing swimmer. I've never heard of him before until this year, but awesome. Right. I wonder if you did that with like amateur golfers, you may get more, I don't know. I don't know if you get more eyeballs, but you could just get more positivity at least around it.
Definitely something to think about. That's for sure. I will say this though, before the wedding, I had a couple hours and I got into some badminton.
Jesus.
Oh, that is one of the most aggressive sports I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my God, dude.
Yo, the way they're slapping that shuttlecock around, like it is.
You just wanted to say shuttlecock.
Yeah. You just wanted to say slap the shuttlecock around.
I had a bet with somebody and I had to say shuttlecock.
You had to work it in somehow. Yeah.
We
could tell.
If you didn't,
we could tell.
Honestly, though, it was. Have you ever watched like professionals play?
Yeah. No, I've played professionally.
You'd get smoked. It was crazy.
Yeah, one sport.
A local picnic.
Like, if you had to train for 4 years, what sport do you think you could make it in?
I'd have to look at there's so many sports that like I don't even know.
You guys remember the curling team, like Tony, whatever, when they were like a bunch of dads, just like
legit like a club sport. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And now they're
Olympic gold medalists.
Exactly.
When cornhole goes to the Summer Olympics, I'll be there.
Yeah.
But honestly,
not far out.
Listen, after watching the badminton guys, I don't want any part of them. Ping pong is ridiculous. I think I'm good at ping pong. Like, no.
I just try to get nasty at like long range shooting or like archery or something.
I like that. Yeah.
Like something very like just sedentary.
Yeah. Equestrian, maybe I could find a good steed to ride and
win. Your ass ain't riding a steed. Get out of here.
Yeah.
I rode a horse.
Is that another word that you had to drop in this?
I'm just a vocab. I'm just a thesaurus. I rode one horse in my life and it was on my honeymoon. And it was the worst experience of my life. I had to go on the water. we went for this long
cross water.
This is a quick story. We got to this beach and then they put a horse in the water without a saddle, right?
To baptize
it. And then everybody could just go in there and then they like take you on a loop so that you're in the water and you're riding a horse in the water, right? So I got so scared, man. Like, because it's you got nothing to grab onto, and like we had just rode all the way down. We're losing it here.
Father, I think I gotta go.
Bless this horse. But yeah, I was so nervous from falling in the water. Like I was just grabbing onto that horse, and
the horse can feel your energy.
The horse can feel your energy.
How many times did you hear that?
Yeah, so much.
Yeah.
And then this show off, we're going back, right? And this show, you can hear this guy. Oh, I rode horses all the time. I'm gonna take this baby for a rip. And
hell yeah,
gang. I was like the third horse in, right? And I had a real crazy horse. Like she was just. I shouldn't have been on that horse. I felt that she could just take off at any moment. And this dude,
you're shaking on her. Of course she's going to feel like she's going to
I almost
off.
Died in the damn ocean on a bareback horse. I got to ride back home. And this cowboy on the back says, I'm going to go. And he just roosts
your ass.
He guns it.
He's riding a horse. He says he guns it.
Those two flew by, and you could tell when you just heard the my horse was just like, let's go, baby. And like I could feel it starting to go, and I was like trying to like squeeze it and be like, no. Like, stop.
Were you strong enough?
She started going and I was just like, whoa. Like I really like in a, that probably wasn't, yo. That sounded too like, I was nervous.
You have to cut this whole story because I actually don't know why you're telling this.
Because equestrian, dude. I was going to ride my steed. The equestrian.
Oh my God.
I'm on top of my game. I even remembered why I'm here.
Literally crying. Oh, I'm God. Crying.
That is amazing.
Traffic noises in the background are the best.
Oh, that is so funny. Yo, get this, dude. Rory Sabatini made 10 birdies, 1 eagle, 2 bogeys, and 5 pars.
Sheesh.
Imagine if you told Sabatini he was going to make 5 pars on Sunday and he was going to be fired up.
61.
He shot 61.
Right? Shot 61, yeah. 10 under.
That's ridiculous.
He shot 10 under. He made 2 bogeys.
That's crazy.
He literally should have shot 59.
That's so crazy.
But that's insane.
So crazy. What a story.
Yeah.
And then that seven-man
playoff. Yeah, the seven-man playoff, which was there. That was a good – Rory was in it, Morikawa, Matsuyama, CT Pan, Paul Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in that? Do you actually know? I heard it was just a par off. Par just kept winning.
Yes. Let me see. I had it up here. So the two guys, Paul Casey and Hideki, got out on the first hole. Then everybody parred the second. And what happened? It looks like, just after that, CT Pan and Morikawa birdied, and then Morikawa bogeyed the last hole, and CT Pan parred. So CT Pan had to, he was one under through four, and that won. So
good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so did you see the story of how his bronze medal is worth way more than Xander's gold medal? Did you see that? So
why is this?
So you, obviously, like, they don't make any money like playing in the tournament,
right.
But if you win a medal, your country has like a payment structure of how they give every athlete. Doesn't matter. Like, so like the US gives to gold medalists, whoever wins a gold, $37,500 per gold, $22,500 for silver, and then $15,000 for bronze medalists.
Okay.
In Taiwan, what he made $179,000.
So,
Yeah. So Xander made like $38,000, and this dude made like $180,000 for coming in third, which is pretty sick.
What do you guys think? Oh, go ahead.
So Singapore, So silver in Taiwan is, it's 716,000. And then if you win, or in for Singapore is the highest. If you win gold, you win $738,000.
Jesus.
Yeah. I saw this graph and it's like, it's why we're like the lowest. Or we're
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have the most,
we actually win things, but yeah. $738,000, which is kind of crazy.
That's so much. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
What do you guys think about the caddies getting a medal too? You hear that whole
do
thing?
They? No.
No, they
no,
don't.
They don't.
They don't.
They should. Yeah, they should.
Should they?
It's like a team. They're a team, right? I mean, you would you consider a caddy and a player a team?
I'd give him a little 10% medal. Just give him like a little baby medal that he can hold on to.
I'm trying to think of like not, something that's comparable.
They're not a team when they win the Masters.
Yeah,
they,
I don't know. I don't
they
know.
They only get 10% of the money.
It's true. They don't get a green jacket.
Well, I guess
They don't get a mini green jacket. They don't get a trophy.
A mini green jacket.
Do coaches get medals?
No.
I think the gymnastics coach does.
Think
like,
so.
Does the coaching like does the USA men's coaching staff get a medal for when they win bronze?
I think in gymnastics they do.
Like in basketball, do they?
In basketball, yeah.
Ooh, this is a great question.
Because if they do, then I think you could maybe argue that it's like.
Yeah.
Strategy.
I mean, I
don't
get
know.
It.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
They are a team.
I would think they would just give them fucking out like candy. There's like hundreds of them anyway. What's an extra one?
I mean, basically, like,
just print one more.
Exactly.
Yeah, just print another one.
They did it for that guy, the sprinter there. You see the sprinter that they tied or some shit? And
yeah, they what fucking got two? That, and they like,
they're just like, nah, we'll just share it. We'll just share. Like, hey, man, they both like, went crazy. I'm like, what?
Instead of having the high jump or something, was it? And they're like, we're just not gonna do another one.
I would have rather they rock, paper, scissors, shoot, just so somebody would have won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or actually done their sport and someone win.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Like just do it again. And if someone doesn't jump high enough, you lose.
You're telling me that you're gonna fucking train for that long. And then just be like, yeah, no, you did a really great job. You're just as good as I am. We're just gonna share a gold medal. Like,
yeah.
Gosh, that was dumb to me. Whole Olympics. But we got the girls starting up. They're starting up tomorrow. We're recording on a Monday, and they're starting tomorrow. So I might tune in for that a little bit. Might not. Who knows? You guys got anything else on the Olympics? This has been another good one. I can't wait for the WGC and stuff like that.
I got a bunch of quick hitters.
All right.
Love it.
JT flew 24,000 miles this last month playing golf.
Wow.
24,000 miles.
What, do you go to Dubai or something?
No, Saudi? Which they're out in Saudi now, I think.
Oh, no, because of the Scottish and the Irish.
But yeah. The
Scottish,
open,
Irish,
the open
British.
Championship.
And then
Olympics. Yeah.
Damn.
Insane. 24,000 miles in a month. That's kind of crazy.
That's a lot.
I figured out the Rory hat situation. Do you know the actual reason why he doesn't wear the hat?
Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Not the gold or not the silver medalist.
Not Rory Sabatini.
Yeah. No, not Rory Sabatini. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
God, Rory listen.
Yeah. Sorry. Respect on Sabatini's name. The shittier Rory.
I did hear this though about Nike.
Yeah, so he
he's not a sellout, Frank.
Any team events where they're like team hats, he can't wear because his head is so small. His hat, like, they don't have normal sizes that fit him. Like Nike literally has to custom make hats for him in order to, and they don't do it for the team events.
Well, is this bullshit, Frank? Because
I
kind of think
now as like such a
small headed individual.
Yeah, he's
got
like a little peanut head. I'm just gonna notice it now.
He definitely does.
A little peanut head.
A That's
good. that one got me, Frank.
All right. Next, Victor Hovland's in the top 10 world golf rankings, which is kind of crazy. But what a kind of rise for him. Like, he's already, you wouldn't really think about it, but
he's crazy. What do you think? Like, so you got world golf rankings in this tournament? This is like the whole, they didn't get FedEx Cup points though, right?
I don't know. I think they might. I thought I saw something. I don't know for sure. I thought I maybe saw something that they might, but I could be wrong. They did get world golf rankings because Hovland did move up.
That's crazy though. He's
he's a pretty
solid player.
Yeah. Another one, quick one. Annika wins her first senior women's major at Brooklawn. She won by 8.
Oh, I know. How are we not there either?
Jeez. I know. And she shot 12 under. It was her first win since in any sanctioned event since 2008. So crazy. She's back in the winner's circle and in a impressive fashion.
Crazy.
And last one I had was, this story sucks, but I don't know if you saw this. The girl, Paula Reddo, was knocked out of the Olympics by an apparent false positive COVID test. She was just playing in the Evian. And on the third day she tested positive, and she had to obviously like back out of that tournament and pull out of the Olympics. And the next 3 days in a row, she tested negative, negative, negative. So they think it was just a false positive. Wow. And now she's missing the Olympics.
Damn.
Which sucks.
That is brutal.
Tough scene, but
damn,
that's all I had for quick hitters.
Yeah. I just looked it up too, and he didn't get FedEx Cup points, but he did get official world golf ranking points.
Right. Right.
Just crazy. Yeah. Another limited field event. Like, I just get so mad at them for
60 bodies. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you shouldn't get anything that like,
right.
I mean, granted, you earned your spot there. I get that whole side, but also
again, though,
it's just freebies like, though.
Just the 10th or whoever the American is, that's 11th in the world or something, like, doesn't even have the opportunity to do that.
Right. Yeah. It's right. Like Tiger's tournament. No, you know,
it's just 18, dumb. It's
18 like, guys, but you're getting freaking 500 FedEx Cup points. It might not be 500, but damn, just crazy to me. All right. Final thoughts, Frank.
I don't know. I got not a whole lot. I know the next few weeks I probably won't be on. So
yeah, no, we're gonna miss you the next couple.
Running
just doing stuff. Bit. You're just a busy guy. Yeah. You're just trying to move a family and start a new job, sell a house.
So the next few weeks will be tough, but
we're gonna make.
I'll talk to you guys. I'm gonna play tomorrow, so I'll give you guys. I'm sure I'll be texting you during the round, and
we might have to have you call in.
What's his over under, Ronnie?
Vegas said 84.
Oh,
wow. Still low. I mean, I've shot like below 84 once in my life, and that's what Vegas is for the line. I love it.
Yeah. I'm hammering the under again, by the way.
Love it. Yep. Love it.
So that's
home track, feeling good.
Yeah. It's a home track. You said you've been driving it farther than you ever have, and I think that's going to play a big factor. So I hope it's on, and I'm playing with house money right now. So
true. Yeah.
Graphic, final thoughts.
Once we get off this, I will be looking up aquatic equestrian adventures on the northeast coastline to see if I can experience something as thrilling as you did. I'd love to feel a nice.
It was an incredible rush.
You know, yeah, a nice steed in between the thighs. all right, no, that's final. That's final thoughts.
Don't poke fun of me.
It's too easy.
I know. My final thoughts is go out there and practice your pitching and chipping and and with that
we'll move seek, my,
that's all I got. I don't have anything fun, so we'll leave him on the 19th here, boys. Bye.